You're listening to V for Vertigo, episode 28.
Carry on my wayward son, there'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest, don't you cry no more.
Ahoy, ahoy. Welcome to V for Vertigo, and one man's journey into the world of all things Vertigo Comics, because everything else is just picture books. I'm your host, Mark Johnson, and this week's review will be about War Stories Volume 2 by Garth Ennis. Now, before I delve into whatever news and review I do plan today, I like to ramble. Ramble about whatever I've been doing in the week. I'm actually surprised I decided to record on a Friday night. I normally be at work, but man, I felt like shit all day. I actually started last night, to be honest. And I, up until recently, could not stand up or do anything upright without the whole world, room just spinning. When I went to get something to eat, woo! Yeah, don't do that, people. Don't drive when things seem a little on tilt. But I feel a lot better now. I was going to record sometime this weekend. I don't really think I plan on doing anything this weekend, which kind of sucks. Well, I don't feel like spending money. It's hard to say what I will do. Still want to watch District 9. But them's life. So, this week has been a very interesting week, to say the least. People are taking things far too seriously, at least when it comes to me. There's no surprise there. Now, what's funny is, my friends, or people I've actually met and hung out with in real life and gone to dinner and have drinks with, they, and known for years, they know what kind of person I am. They know my snide remarks or stuff is nothing to be taken seriously. I suppose you people out there know it too, well, if you listen to a lot of episodes, but I hope it's to a lesser extent. Meeting, hang out with me in real life. I tell you, but man, people have no sense of humor. They seem to think the wrong thing about me, which is interesting. Yeah, it's rather do, because in real life, I don't really believe what people say. Because let's face it, human beings are full of shit. You know that. I know that. Lie every single day. Open your mouth. Someone lies. It's terrible. Like, how you doing? Fine. Like, no, you're not fine, but you just lied to me, so, whatever. But man, on the internet, I have said some things that, to be honest, things I say seem a little wacky, they seem a little out there, but I don't really care. You meet me in real life, you'll see, my monotone voice is pretty accurate. Like, I really don't give a fuck. I don't have time to be dealing or sweating the small stuff or be worrying about whatever you're whining about now. But on the internet, people are just taking things the wrong way. Taking this shit far too seriously. In fact, people seem to take things on the internet a lot more seriously than they do in real life. They get a lot more worked up over it than they do in real life. Which makes me wonder, why or how? You say one thing and you get shit like, oh, that's passive aggressive. Oh, you think you know everything. Oh, blah, blah, blah. You know what I hear? A bunch of fucking whining. Like, dude, lighten up. Like, who am I? Because, let's face it, most people out there, you don't know who I am. You don't know me. Yeah, people, my family members and shit, they really don't know me either. But I'm more of a stranger to you than my friends and family are, you see, which begs the question, like, why do people get more upset when strangers say stuff. Complete anonymous internet strangers or internet quote-unquote friends, whatever. Why do people get more upset over that than people, their wives, husbands, girlfriends, boyfriends, coworkers, whatever, do stuff in their real life? They don't get upset. Or they do and they don't do anything. It's really ass backwards. I'm like, man, I don't care what those people say, unless, you know, they say I'm querying to an agent and if she gives feedback, then I listen to what she has to say. But if it's some random schmo that says something about something, even about the show, I'm like, I don't really give a shit. I mean, well, I take that the wrong way. I do appreciate all suggestions and criticism, but if you sound like you're whining, which... I don't want to say that people sound like they're whining. It sounds that way on the internet. Because people in real life sound like they're whining all the time. This is why, in real life, I don't really say much, man. I say things. I say some crazy shit. But I don't go around complaining around all the time. I'm having a bad day, whatever. Well, that's fine. That's fine. That's what friends are for. But, like, you know, I don't really say. I just go out and do it. You know that guy, that friend you got, or that coworker, or whatever, who's always bragging about doing something. Or maybe you are the bragger, but they're never really going to do it. Yeah, you don't want to be that guy. So, all right, so no, just do it. Just go out and do it and don't just complain about doing it or act like you're going to do it when you're not really going to do it. I ain't completely straight off the subject. But the point of the matter is, whatever I say, it's not that I don't mean what I say, because I do. It's just that I don't care about what I say. Alright, there's a huge difference. It's basically all about an intent. I don't mean to be mean. I just am, because I don't care, and people think I'm cold sometimes. So, Jesus Christ, people lighten the fuck up out there. My God, not that they'll hear this. Even if they did, say it if they did and I met them, they wouldn't say a goddamn thing in person, but, you know, I would, because I'm Mark Johnson. That reminds me, I am enjoying Facebook, because people I see, hang out with 5-6 times a year are on there, and people from high school are on there, and they're like, oh, Mark, same old Mark, with the cynicism and the smartassness and the bitterness-ism, because bitterism's not a word. They're like, ah, same old Mark, but they could, like, dish it as well as take it. I'm like, yeah, they know what they're getting into, because, you know, I spent hours and hours and years with those people, but these days, you don't really get all that. But, you know, I've changed a little bit from high school. I'm a lot less angry. Yeah, kind of miss being angry. Oh, well. I just had to get that off my chest. But, yeah, whatever. So, what else happened during the week is speaking of attention whoring, because that's what podcasting is about. Some attention whore just returned in the news. Retire. I don't even know why I'm talking about him, because honestly, I'm giving the whore the attention he craves. And I'm talking about Brett Favre. I don't get him. He tries, like, if you could tell, well, maybe you can't. I can read people far more than the average Joe. Yeah, I'm a bit arrogant, so sue me. But I'm very good at reading people. He tries to come up as the average Joe, good old country boy. I'm Brett Favre, look at me, I'm good looking. I'm just a damn dude. Well, whatever his accent is. But man, you tell in his eyes, he's like, I want the attention. I want to be the center of the spotlight. Kind of like Shaq. I don't like Shaq for the same reason. Well, no, I don't like Shaq because he backstabs teammates and former coaches and then talks hella shit. Once he leaves, that's more childish. That is worse than Favre, because Favre can't make up his fucking mind. Like, if he would just say, I don't want to go through training camp, but I do want to play, yeah, that'd be fine. I mean, that's like being a man. Be upfront about it. I can understand at least one or two times when Jordan retired and unretired. I mean, his dad died, and then he lost his mind and went to play baseball, whatever. And then rappers retire. But, man, Favre just makes up a big spectacle. And I don't think he gets enough shit for it. He is starting to get enough shit now. He's not even good anymore. He is the all-time interception king. Do you know what that means? He has thrown, I think he's actually thrown more interceptions than touchdowns. I'm not entirely sure. I think he might have done it last year. He might have broken that record. Like, I don't know who would want that record. But man, the guy isn't good. He's still making the same boneheaded mistakes when he made when he was a rookie. But now he's like, look at me, I'm Brett Favre. And who is getting entirely too much slack, conversely, is my man, Michael Vick. I would say his middle initial, but I have no idea what it is. Now, Michael Vick, he did some wrong, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, if there were dogfights, what guy wouldn't see them? In fact, I might call some people. I know there's some dogfights in Chinatown. I'm sure there are. Maybe Japantown. Probably Chinatown, though. I'm tempted to go, hey, so you know some people? Because I would want to go watch a dog fight. I'm not a betting man, but I would just want to see one, to go see one, instead of randomly see two dogs fight on the street. Because that is a rarity, and not really to the death, or is that much ferocity. But I would like to see that, and people give, I don't get it. I don't get people and their animals, man. Like, dude kills guy in DUI, whatever his name is, he gets slapped on the wrist. Other guys beat their wives, beat this person, like, DUI this, and that. Like, oh, nothing happens to them. But a guy has had some dogs killing some other dogs. Oh, everyone's up in arms. They think he should die. I'm like, man. So, what I've learned from that, not that I didn't already know. Oh, is that A, people are real psycho about their animals. They're not your kids. And it's very scary when they dress up their animals. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening. Hope you're not. Really shouldn't listen. Man, dogs, animals, they're not your kids. They're not your babies. Alright? Maybe that's why I like reptiles. They're cool, but I know they're not my babies. And secondly, I had a firstly. What was my first thing? I don't remember what the second thing. Honestly, it was my mind. The room was still kind of spinning. Kind of not. Took a lot of ibuprofen. Head's kind of clearing a bit. Yeah, I don't get it, dude. He shouldn't have gone to jail for 2 years. I mean, no, God, dogs. He's from the South. They do some weird shit down there. They're a bit backwards. They still think they lost the Civil War or something. It's very strange. But that's all I got for my week that's been kind of bothering me. Kind of not. Now, on to the news.
Vertigo News.
So, everyone's favorite, NBC, and by favorite I mean fuck NBC, and fuck GE, NBC, CFE, and whatever the fuck they're called now, in USA. You cancel some great shows, and you keep some crap. You got rid of 4400 on USA. Got rid of Dead Zone. Although they made huge budget cuts, that show was going out the window last season anyway. Kept shit like Heroes, kept shit like Chuck, got rid of the Journeyman. Oh, Journeyman, kill me, man. And got rid of My Own Worst Enemy, which is, you know, a lot of fun. Went great, it's pretty good. So, NBC is looking to adapt Midnight Mass comic. Yeah, I've never heard of it either. Midnight Mass is about a married couple that travels around the world solving mysteries and dealing with the supernatural. I've never read it, but it sounds to me like Supernatural meets Romancing the Stone. Both great things. Don't really know if it worked in comic form. Apparently not. Don't really know if it'll work in TV format. I'm interested. What is it? What did I say? They adapt it. So say they greenlight it, make a pilot, and they put it on air for the 5 episodes that they'll show, and then they'll cancel it. Even if it is, well, if it's bad, they'll keep it. If it's good, they'll cancel it. Now, if they do that, will Vertigo, I assume, but you never know, will Vertigo then reissue the trade? They should. The story. I remember when this thread popped up, people were like, huh? Never heard of it. Now, another story or book I've never heard of is Stuck Rubber Baby by Howard Cruz. Apparently, that's some old 60s term, 50s, Stuck Rubber Baby. It'll be reissued in 2010. It's about a young white man dealing with the acceptance of his homosexuality while he fights for black rights in the 1960s. Sounds kind of interesting. I don't know. Ooh, that's a tough one. It was whenever I think of white people helping out other people. I'm always thinking of that scene in Malcolm X where the woman's like, did she say Mr. X? I don't know. Well, she went up to him and was like, what can I do to help? You can't do anything. It's our fight. Or he said something like that. Which is, what I always think of. But this guy's gay, so that's kind of a twist. Because people are just now getting the gay rights. I'm kind of tired of the gay whining. They kind of whine a lot. It's yeah, I agree, I should get married and all that, but when I read shit like, is gay the new black? I'm like, no, motherfucker, gay's not the new black. People were gay before, and it was cool to be gay, or bi, or whatever the fuck the Greeks and other cultures were doing back in the day. Like, no one gave a shit. That was cool, man. They didn't have you be a slave for that, you know, a few hundred years. Still get shit today, and people look at you funny in stores. Hey, so gay's not the new black, just in case you're wondering. It's kind of fucked up, but, yeah, no, not really. It's not really fucked up. it's a small fraction, really. And that's all I got for the news. And I'm sure I've lost more listeners. People just got, Mike, he's hating on everything. He's hating. Nah, nah. Now I sound like I'm one. And what the fuck? I hate it. You see, that's why Monday through Friday, I don't really talk. Because I'm at work and it's boring. Yeah, we're not friends, people. But, I don't like complaining because then I'm whining and then I hate it. So it's a no-win situation. Actions louder than words, people. Actions louder than words. So, let's move on to war stories.
And now it's time for the rundown.
This will probably be a rather long episode or the same length because war stories is really long. Now, this wasn't my pick. This was Jonathan's. Wah, 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 wah. Now, as much as I love Garth Ennis, and I love war, and miss conventional warfare, or even non-conventional warfare, where two sides are doing it, not just one. Sorry, people in Iraq, come on. That is horrible. Anyways, I don't want to get into a history lesson again. I don't like reading about war. And what I mean, I don't like reading about it. I don't like reading about it in comic form, because I've actually read books about it, fictional and non-fictional. They're great. But comics, they don't capture it as well as either of those two. It's strange. I mean, Ennis does a damn good job, as good as he can, but it's not perfect. So, either I have extremely bad luck, which would be on par with my life. Or comic companies cannot bound thick books. This book's spine, let me grab it here, and open it up, started to fall apart. The glue, at least nice. It's only like a page or two, but if I wanted to, I could rip the cover off. Just like the filth, but not as bad. I don't think it's a Vertigo / DC thing, because the same thing also happened to that Dark Horse Conan I bought. Although that one was found in a 50% off bin, so who knows what happened to it while it was in there. It might just be an in-stock trades thing. This episode of V for Vertigo not sponsored to you by In-Stock Trades. It probably never will be. I don't know, offense, guys. It's a bit of a bummer. They're not listening. I'm pretty sure they're not listening. I hope they're not. Alrighty. So, the first story, and there are four of them, is called J for Chicka Chicka Janey. J for Janey. With art by David Lloyd. Famed for Reefer Vendetta and, I was going to say Watchmen, but I don't think so. No, that's Dave Gibbons. Dave. Too many Daves. I know too many Daves, too many Mikes, too many Brians. Thankfully, not too many Marks. So J for Jenny. Jenny is about a group of English pilots and gunners on a bomber. One of the gunners, Stark, has a problem killing innocent German civilians. Now, the pilot, Page, enjoys it since his family was killed by a German bomber in the Blitzkrieg. What did the English call it? Nah, I should have wrote it down. Now, there's a lot of whining from Stark about what they do, and conversely, there's a lot of bragging from Page, too. As you would suspect, the two get in a fight, and at the end of the story, they're about to crash. They get all the other people to leave. But when Stark sees Paige trying to crash the plane into a small town, he pulls up, and they get captured by Germans. The end. You know, people seem to love David Lloyd's artwork. I think it's kind of, On the one hand, I don't think the art stands out enough because of the coloring. And he did color it, because it says on the back. Oh, well, on the back it says illustrated. But... In the front, it says Art and Color by David Lloyd. I don't think he's a color. I don't know. Well, might be. I don't know if it's... Because he's old school, right? I don't know if it's the paper, the fact that it's a comic book, or whatever it was reprinted from. But the colors and images out here, they don't shine. I mean, in my head, if I pictured it shining, if it was painted, I think David Lloyd's artwork would look awesome. Now, despite all that, the muddiness, cloudiness, darkness, whatever, the emotional impact of what the characters are going through, however, does get across. What didn't get across is I also got confused as to which character was talking. I didn't really know who's who, except those two. That was kind of hard. Now, I... Like most Americans, forget there was a time the English could fight. We only think of them fighting when they had kings and lords and swords and wizards. Nowadays, it's hard to take an Englishman seriously when they're getting mad, even about their football. I mean, it's the accent. You go, hello, I like some tea. Yeah, I'm British. You're like, oh, you're British. We beat you in a couple of wars. Well, we're British. You got your ass kicked by Germans. Oh, they did rule the world. Good for them. Now, what I like the most in the story is that Ennis puts quotes from actual soldiers instead of making up the dialogue or the thoughts. It adds more to the realism. And then if you want, you can probably go research the guy. And what's interesting is that it deals with bombers. I mean, when it comes to artillery, it's probably the most impersonal aspect of the war, unless you're the one on the receiving end. In which case, it fucking sucks. But if you're the shooter, or the bomber, or whatever, artillery, because a bomber is artillery. As I've said before, there's the war version has not changed. Infantry, cavalry, artillery. Maybe helicopters are kind of a mixture, depending on the helicopter. But when it comes to artillery, you just kind of fire, you kind of aim, and you hope you hit something. I mean, you don't want to hit the civilians, unless they're in the factories making the machines. But, you know, you do. Now, I remember an old Twilight Zone episode. I think I did see it. I'm in the middle of season 3. About how good the Germans treated pilot prisoners. I didn't really know if that was true or not. I assumed it was, because Serling did fight in World War II. Although he did fight in the Pacific. I mean, I assume he had some buddies. The war was in the 60s back then. Who knows? Who knows? But they did show here that at the end, the German did treat Stark. Well, they treated them all nicely. I like that. Because I'm tired of the Germans being the villains. They're not all Nazis. Germans aren't that bad. I mean, the food sucks. Sauerkraut? Sausage? With... ew. Looks like you're eating a cock. That is terrible. I mean, I get... and their language is also extremely mean. Everything in German says, they're like yelling and mean. Like, man, calm down. But other than that, they're cool. Fucking the best engineers. Amazing. I know I've said this before, but... it's amazing how good Germans are at engineering. I mean, man, they got their ass kicked for centuries. Millennia, maybe? I don't know. Because they were surrounded by little better countries. Or more advanced, if you want to be PC, more advanced in the art of warfare and technology. But then, boom, 20th century, oh, they kick some ass. Fight fucking everybody. I'm like, goddamn, respect to the Germans. Not to the Nazis, though. Now, the next story is called the Reavers. I'm probably reading this wrong. Reavers. R-E-I-V-E-R-S. And the art is by Cam Kennedy. We'll say the Reavers. Now, the Reavers are supposed to be about the World War II version of the historic... well, the Reavers from before then, back in the... pick a century. 17th, 18th, 19th, whatever. Now, the Reavers were a bunch of groups throughout time that did all the guerrilla fighting. Not necessarily because they believed what they were doing, but just because they liked to fight. Now, this group of Reavers... it's gotta be Reavers. What does my, word check say? No, but there's that eye. It's throwing me off, man. Well, whatever. This takes place in Egypt while they're fighting the Germans. And instead of killing the general, they accidentally kill his wife. And when they're on the airfield trying to blow it up, or at least the planes, they were spotted. And then they eventually tried to retreat, but I think the general sent his whole fucking platoon after them. And they die. Now, as opposed to the coloring in the last book, or story, I should say, this book is amazing. It just jumps out at you, and it's easier to tell who's who. The only downside is it's a shame there are a lot of action scenes that start off the book. One thing comics can't do are multiple action scenes. Panel or two, fine. A splash page is great, but people will complain about the new Hulk because of that very reason, and you get a lot of it here. And, which is funny, because the only thing I love in here is the art. And that's about it. The story is fucking boring. I have no idea what's going on. Except that, you know, they like killing stuff. And the guy leader's a bit of a madman. But the problem is, I don't really care. I mean, starting with a little action would be great if it was a movie or book. But in comics, I mean, I need some characterization. Or I need to know the character. And these guys aren't Spider-Man or anything. So it's not that great here. What also sucks is there's a lot of singing in the book. And if there's one thing worse than action pages, it's singing in comics. Now, while the art overall was good, the problem was when it came to the two main characters, they looked exactly alike. I didn't know who's who. Until, you know, they one had a different color hat, and the other had, like, a shawl or something. And it was a great way to tell them who's who, because they're exactly alike. The thing I do like, aside from the art, is that the story does take place in Africa. And when it comes to the world wars, they don't mention Africa. I mean, granted, it's Egypt, and Egypt's kind of weird. But, you know, Egypt is in Africa. It's kind of like how our Civil War, they don't mention anything west of Texas. They barely mention Texas. Apparently nothing went on in the west. And then in the rest of Africa, nothing went on. You just figure these things. Nothing big must have happened, right? They would have said something. The ending's good. Shows that sometimes being full of blood, lust, sucks, and reminds me that not all stories end with the good guys winning. It's kind of like the original ending of Rambo First Blood. And I liked it when the Germans sent all their people after them, and I felt the same as the characters were reading about the Rivas, and I was like, oh shit, that's a lot of people, and planes, and tanks. We're like a handful of guys. Now the next story, the best one, is called Condors. The art by Carlos Escuera. Now Condors tells a story of four different individuals during the Spanish Civil War while they're stuck in a shell hole. Now, as you might suspect, they tell the story of where they're from, what they believe in, and how they got there. To pass the time. Because they're bored. What else would they do? So, the art does seem to get better with each passing story. I loved how detailed this one was and how everyone looked different, considering the four different backgrounds. Now, Condors starts off far better than the previous story, immediately throwing you into a shell hole. Almost said shell shock. I've been playing far too much Turtles in time. With four different people, four different personalities, and the pair on each opposing side. Now that hook, as the great, someone said in a great movie, that had me a hello. Now the first story is the German kid story. I loved it. Like I said before, there's a lot of German hate, right? Granted, it's not without some good reason. Some of the things they did were wrong, and they also lost the war. If they won the war and did the wrong things, it'd be a moot point. However, you know, not all of them were Nazis, nor did everyone know what was going on with the Jews. They didn't have the internet back then, people. Not everyone had a camera phone. Now, the German, he seems to be the youngest one. He might just look the youngest, but all he cares about is he can fly. He doesn't care about the war or the politics, just the flying and the fact that in air battles, it's more honorable than any of the other battles. Because it's like a one-on-one duel, assuming someone doesn't shoot from the side. And he's right. Germany post the world war to end all wars was a pretty shitty place. And the quote-unquote winners back then, they kind of were responsible for Hitler. They were definitely responsible for the fact that there's going to be a second war. Now, the socialists? I'm not sure what he is. He's English. We'll say the Englishman. He is a socialist, which is weird. He had an interesting story. It wasn't as fun or entertaining to read as he constantly spouted off, you know, the babble about how he and his people were doing what they were doing for the good of mankind. I just enjoyed how strongly he believed in the bullshit and how there are some that still actually believe in that. But, you know, as much as I would want it to be, our world isn't Star Trek. And according to most science fiction, our world will never be Star Trek. We're never going to get along. Something will destroy us. Or we'll be at war with each other. Now, the one thing I never understood about sci-fi movies, why are you going to be on the... I know Star Wars isn't sci-fi, right? I've said it before. But people love the Millennium Falcon because of its look. Because they want, like, a junky ship. I mean, if I'm in space, I don't want a crappy ship with dark corridors like Alien that's going to come out. What is that? No, I want clean. I want it could fly. I want if there's a problem, I can fix it. Or I don't want there to be a problem, you know. Yeah, well, I'm completely straying off topic again. Now, the Englishman has a pretty heartfelt story because he wants to make the world a better place. However, when you have to vote for leadership, get no ammo or air support except through a committee, yeah, you're screwed. Yeah, that's why that shit never works out. Because all it takes is the other side to say, fuck you, and you lost. Now, the Irishman, he probably had the most fucked up story. That guy is one mean motherfucker. Because he's scary. He's like that guy. He won't let shit go, and he'll kill anyone who gets in his way or who thinks he's oppressing him. Now, I'm willing to bet, although it wasn't shown much, that his own side is scared of him. Because they go, hey, why don't you kill this guy after they're done interrogating who, whatever. The funniest thing about his story was that he asked the Englishman why he wants Ireland, and then everyone else asked the same thing. And the guy's, I don't want Ireland. Well, why are you in there? It's not me. Because he's a red. But it is him because he's English. It's weird. Did they have a democracy back then, England? Were they still in the... Yeah, World War II? I don't remember. I don't like democracy. Now, the Spanish guy's story is the most wrong. It's sad, too. He had to watch the massacre of one of his cities. And he knows more than all of them. Because he knows what Hitler and the other countries are going to do, as they're just using his country as practice. And it's true. And America back then didn't really care about going into other countries. Although, I don't think Spain had oil, so it wouldn't have mattered anyway. But, yeah, they're just using it and now. Spain, Civil War. It's a forgotten footnote in history when you compare it to World War II. I don't think there'll be a Call of Duty Spanish Civil War. Although there should. That'd be kind of cool. Yeah, get on that, people. Now, what I like most about it is that not until the very end are their names mentioned. Hence, I didn't feel the need to write their names down. And the fact that, you know, as I said before, it involves the Spanish Civil War. And it was good to know and learn some things from there, because we don't even know. But man, yeah, I liked it. I really liked it. Enjoyed it. The Condors is the best story in the entire book. Alright. Now, the last story is called Archangel. Art by Gary Erskine. That's a pretty simple story. It involves a Scottish man. I think he's Scottish. It's hard to tell. They all look alike. And their accents in comic. Yeah, and it's hard to tell if he's Scottish or if he's English. Yeah, sounds pretty bad, but... Come on, I'm American. He's a Scottish man who flies in, I think, the English Air Force. Weird, the United Kingdom, that. Now, because he's too honest and a bit of a good guy, he gets transferred to a crazy-ass group. Now, his job, instead of flying a conventional plane, is to get launched, catapulted from a ship. I almost said an airship. They don't even have those yet. Now, he's this one fighter who's meant to chase the German bombers away. If the Germans had any German fighters, he'd be screwed. Now, the problem is his plane doesn't have wheels. There's no landing or steering gear or whatever. They have a steering gear, but there's no landing gear. So he can't land back on the decks. He's got to either fly to the nearest airstrip, which can be pretty far away. And if he does that, he might end up with the Russians. And even though they're allies, they're barely allies.
Just because Germany attacked Russia.
Well, Germany can handle that. And Russia's a bit dated on technology. Because they're like the Englishmen in the last story. They gotta do things by committee with their communism. So, and Russia's cold. I wouldn't want to go there. До свидания, no offense, people. Or he's got to crash his ship into the ocean, stay on a little dinky of his, and pray he'll be picked up. That one of the massive ships will see his little body there before he freezes to death. Now, he manages to succeed, and in his first mission, hold off all the German bombers and scare them into dropping their load early. It seems people that don't know war, it might seem a bit weird that one plane can hold off all the German bombers, but... And remember, German bombers, our bombers are artillery. Artillery gets the ass beaten out of them by any other group, if you get close enough. Same with cavalry, well, tank-wise anyway. Like, you don't send tanks without infantry. Tanks will get eaten up by infantry. Not in 1943, though. I don't know what I'm doing. Actually, yeah, I did destroy a tank. I was like my third kid. Woohoo! But, so there's no fighters to support the German bombers. And all it really had taken, like, they dropped their load. If he shoots one and they still have their load, their payload, he kills them all. Because their formations are so tightly knit. Yeah, so the art is good again. I love it, except for the dog fights in the beginning. Because I couldn't tell who's who, but that's realistic, and there was no radar back then, so you can't really tell who's who. Anyway, captures that feel. Now, out of all the stories, though, this one probably starts off the slowest, despite the dog fighting scene. But the biggest problem is, I think it felt very disjointed. And it's the transitions. You're like, one second you're in a bar, one second he's fucking his girl, one second he's where he's learned to fly, one second he's in the bar again, another second he's in India with the captain of the Navy or going there. It's just like, what? What? Now, the story overall is very average and predictable. I mean, you know it's going to happen. Well, you hope. You hope that he doesn't die because he's a good guy. I mean, he's not a strong character. You kind of feel bad for him. So, you're on the fence either way. He's likable, but it's like he doesn't want to marry his girl because of the war and doesn't want to leave her a widow. But I'm like, she's hot. You should before you leave because you might fuck someone else. And it's a war. You could die, right? That's how it goes. But he does become the hero at the end and gets rid of all the bombers, and he learns that after he's scared shitless that maybe I should marry her. Of course, the guy in charge is also, well, alright, you do that and then you come back and go again. Which has got to be like, wah, 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 wah. Nah, that's the last story. So, overall, at the end, there's Innes' thoughts on where he got the things from, the ideas from. And anyone who's interested in reading about these stories or the wars, there's a bibliography of books, which I'm half tempted to get. So, War Stories, Volume 2. It's good. Yeah, I like it. It's long, man. It's a long episode. It's a great deal for the cover price of $19.99. Even if your cover starts to fall off. If you're one of those people that only enjoy art, why are you listening to this show? You obviously don't read Vertigo books. But if you do, if you perchance happen to, you'll still enjoy it, because you'll have something to look at. And even if you don't like Garth Ennis, you should enjoy it, because he doesn't Which, ironically, if you want to say that, in his war stories, he doesn't have the over-the-top violence, quote-unquote violence, whatever, that he's known for in The Boys or The Preacher. I still don't think he's that bad. So, that's it, everyone. Thanks for listening. If you want to be a guest host or something, drop me a line. Next week's pick will be Faker by Mike Carey. I'd appreciate it if you left me some feedback on iTunes, even if it's just a star kind. 5 is good. Visit the website to see what's coming down the pipeline that I'll be reviewing at bforvertigo.blogspot.com. Email me with your questions, comments, or suggestions at vertigocast@gmail.com. Leave a voicemail at 206-339-6580. Follow me on Twitter and read my crazy tweets of the week at twitter.com/hellsfire. And visit the forums to do whatever at thecomicforums.com. And goodbye, everyone. See you next time.